This should be fun.
Family, don't end with blood.
I regret this already.
Hello! Not an idiot. See ya!
Lilu Dallas Multipass.
Give him the bits!
The bits! The bits!
The things I do for love!
I will never, ever turn my back on people who need me.
Tell anybody about that. I snuck into Mario's. Emergencies. That was very sneaky of you.
Chipmunks! Download now!
Greetings, chipmunks. This episode is gonna feature some fat phobia. Have fun.
Hello and welcome back.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
We've been gone for a while.
Yeah.
So it's so weird coming back.
It was unplanned, but needed.
I mean, sorry for skipping most of Pride.
Most? Yeah, well.
We got literally almost all of Pride. We did one thing.
We did two. She-Ra.
And?
GBF.
Gay Best Friend.
That's right, we did two. We were there for half of Pride.
Yeah, and then we went continuation of Pride. Vacation.
It's okay.
Vacation, all I ever wanted.
For the last week of Pride, you'll be glad we missed it, because maybe we'll do a special episode about it. I don't know.
Yeah, because if you haven't guessed the hint already, we're not going to spoil it, but two out of the three of us got most of the way through that show, and God, if you liked it, it was not going to be pleasant. We finally found one that none of us liked, and we didn't even fucking record it.
We didn't even finish it.
I finished it by sheer willpower, although I was on most of my phone for most of it. But anyways, who are we?
I'm Mexico.
I'm New Jersey.
I'm local Florida man.
And welcome back to Why Should I Watch That?
It's not Luca. I want it to be Luca. It's not Luca.
Shut up, because I haven't seen it.
We tried to fix that. It's on my mind, and if I don't say it now, I'm going to say it later.
I have a lot of feelings about those little sea monsters.
It's a good movie.
Anyway, moving
but
on.
That's not what we're talking about today.
That's what I'm saying. It's not. I want it to be, but it's not.
I have expressed my feelings, and now we're moving on to other feelings.
So you might be thinking to yourselves, oh, good, they're back. Now we can, like, get through Pride, now. We're skipping a lot. We're basically coming back in where our schedule says we should have been if we were here the whole time. So everything that we didn't do is just getting thrown back into the pot. So it's fine.
Yay.
Sorry, guys.
It's fine. We're here now.
Yeah. Sorry, I went on vacation.
And Neb went on vacation.
Vacation, air quotes.
Have we introduced your new name and pronouns?
Yeah, no,
Do we have new pronouns, too?
Well, no, same pronouns.
No, because initially you introduced yourself with she, they.
We did an update.
I did not remember. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I was going to say, because when did we switch the pronouns? Oh, yeah, we're actually, Nev is actually using neo-pronouns now. All right, we're back.
This week, we're discussing heavyweights.
Yeah, what's that?
It's a 1990s Ben Stiller movie.
Oh, is that all?
Spider-Man villain themes.
I mean,
you stole my thunder. That was my joke. We watched this together.
Yes.
Therefore, Neb will be stealing all of my jokes.
Oh, shoot. Kabobbles.
You can say shit.
After the conversation I had this morning with my mother, you were there for that.
I was there for that, and your mother is delightful. Hi, Myra's mom. Not that she listens, I don't think.
I was about to say, I don't think she listens.
Mom doesn't understand what podcasts are.
It's neo radio.
I think it's more of she hasn't found a
Blah, 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 blah.
And Griffin McElroy has made a guest appearance.
All right, all right, all right. So we're doing the thing.
Heavyweights.
So I have some Ushinies. And we all know these at this point because we looked them up together. Mm. The man and woman who initially ran the fat camp. Camp Hope at the beginning of the movie were actually Ben Stiller's parents, like in real, like in
those
the
are
real
his
world.
Mom and those dad. Are,
that's his mom and dad. Also, they passed away.
Sad.
Very sad. Yeah, they were really well known actually as like a comedy duo throughout the years, and they made it a habit of appearing in a lot of their son's work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, so that's one of my Ushinies. Oh, and was it Keenan from Keenan and Peele.
Keenan Kel.
Wow, I didn't even get to watch the show as a kid. Don't look at me like that.
No,
I only know Welcome to Good Burger, Home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order? I don't know them. Thank you for traumatizing both current me and future me at the same time.
Is it gonna get picked up?
Yeah.
My back cracks.
You can see it.
Oh.
You talk about my scratching that never gets picked up. The little sounds I make.
Okay. On topic.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Any other Ushinies?
What's his name? Was it meth addict?
Josh. Something with J. There was a J.
The actor who played Josh,
old Joshy,
became a meth addict and went to rehab in 2020. He's doing better now and has a whole new set of teeth.
How about you just read the summary? Let's read the summary. Shall we read?
Okay.
You can tell the vibes in the studio are very weird. My brain is still sort of on vacation mode and does not want to return.
And
so badly.
Jay and I are rather sleep deprived.
I have not slept in 48 hours, more or less. Dang.
I got caffeine in the fridge.
Yeah. Well, we're just going to read the Rotten Tomatoes review. It seems like it's the most stable. All right. Jerry, spelled with a G, is not looking forward to his summer vacation since he'll be spending it at a camp for overweight boys in order to shed pounds. Fortunately, a kindly couple, the Bushkins, run the camp and make the process fun and relaxed. However, they're soon forced to declare bankruptcy and sell the camp to Tony Perkis, a fitness fanatic who turns the camp into a living nightmare of over-the-top training. But the kids plan to fight back. Also, their old friend planned to fight back. That's from me.
Yeah, so it was directed by Stephen Brill. Also written by Stephen Brill. Whole bunch of really popular 90s kid actors basically take the cast of the Mighty Ducks and copy and paste it into Heavyweights.
Legit.
Because we got Tom McGowan, Aaron Schwartz, and Sean Weiss, all really popular 90s actors. Released in February 17th, 1995. Runtime is 110 minutes, English. And it made $17.6 million in the box office. Not
wow.
too bad, considering.
What was the budget?
Does not.
All right.
Say
well.
In the brief recap.
Oh. No, yeah, it doesn't. All right.
But it is a cult classic, officially, according to Wiki.
It is a cult classic, I would say. You can find it on Disney+.
Yeah, I was getting there.
Oh. Because we forget all the time.
You can also find it on Amazon, but it's behind a paywall, so...
Is it not behind a paywall at Disney Plus?
If it's part of the free subscription.
Oh, I didn't know they had a
free subscription. They don't have a
free subscription. Not a free subscription, but, like, part of the subscription.
So it's also behind a paywall.
It's also behind a paywall, but, like, if you have Amazon Prime, you have to pay additional money.
Okay, to access it. The movie costs money on Amazon Prime Video.
Yes.
And it is behind Disney Plus as a subscription service.
Correct.
There we go.
Thank you. This whole new paying for movies on a subscription service is kind of stupid in my opinion. But like, what do I know?
Obviously nothing about business.
Obviously nothing about corporate America. And those are all of the fun facts from the Wikipedia. If you would like to know more, Google has access to the Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Jay, this was your first time seeing it.
Yeah. I actually, upon like thinking about it overnight, because again, I didn't sleep, I don't know if it actually was my first time.
Oh.
But if it wasn't, I don't remember the real first time. Just thinking about the movie, it was not as, like...
foreign?
Yeah, it wasn't as foreign as I thought it was going to be. It, like, especially the scene where they're hiding all the candy and stuff, I was like, yeah, I've seen that before. Like, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the movie, did not remember a single fucking thing, but I was not surprised when everything happened. Like... it was weird. I don't know if I've actually seen this movie before or not, but I have a feeling the answer is probably yes, but it was a while ago.
Yeah. This was my first time seeing it since I was a child. A literal child. It held up pretty well, considering the wild ride that it is.
Held up well?
Compared to Fern Gully, it held up well. They say.
I'm just gonna keep my mouth shut, cause, yeah.
All right, the fat shaming movie out. Held up well.
I mean, for what it is,
a fat shaming movie.
I really enjoyed Ben Stiller's performance.
Okay, yeah.
Although
I did not.
You know what is interesting? With, you know, I'm not against cancel culture, so don't get me wrong. But you know how there's so much stuff even that is, you gotta take it with a grain of salt because of the time and stuff when it was made. Now, if a movie like this is made today, yes, cancel it. But
right.
I'm shocked that it hasn't been considered as a cancel culture because of how we see fat shaming nowadays.
I think because the movie makes a point to be like, no, this health fanatic, quote unquote,
is not healthy,
and B is going about losing weight all the wrong ways. They make a point to show that the fat shaming done in the movie is wrong and harmful and detrimental to everyone who is subjected to it. So I don't know. I think that's probably why, if I had to take a guess.
I'm just saying, because, you know, again, I'm not against cancel culture. Because there are certain people and certain things that just don't need to exist.
Yep.
But, and again, I think some people who do cancel culture, just getting on my stoop here.
Your little soapbox.
My soapbox. I do think that there are some people that just take it too far.
It's definitely a double-edged sword, cancel culture. Because basically cancel culture applies to everyone unless you're pretty and thin.
I don't know about that. Cancel culture applies to everyone. Period. Yes.
Yeah, but people are more willing to defend someone if they're...
People are willing to defend everyone.
Okay.
That's the way I see it. Like, every time I've seen cancel culture come up, it's because, like the Bill Cosby thing, not to bring up you know,
a traumatic thing.
Like, trigger warning, Bill Cosby. Yes, he did do atrocious things. He was proven in the court of law to do atrocious things. Fans of his are still defending him.
Mm.
He is a popular, funny, arguably somewhat attractive to some people. I'm going off of other people's words. Kind of person. And people still defend him, but he was still canceled. Shane Dawson. PewDiePie. I could go on. The face does not matter. It's what comes out of it that does.
That's fair enough. But yes, no, that's why I was saying that. Because, I don't know, there's certain things I've heard from certain people, oh, that you shouldn't see that. Like the Christmas song for a while that wanted to get canceled.
Oh, Baby It's Cold Outside.
Yes, yes, it's not a very appropriate song.
But they're also neglecting a huge element of cultural influence on that song.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, the period in which it was written, women had to be, like, coy about what they actually wanted. And so the whole, like, oh no, I can't, was a lot more...
I want to, but I gotta go, because that's not how it's appropriately done right now.
Right.
And that song wouldn't have been as good if it was, yeah, let's stay.
Yeah, and, like, it's meant to be, like, a cute little...
We, yeah.
Dance around each other?
Sure.
Anyway.
I'm not disagreeing. I just... Time context changes everything.
And that's fair enough. And that's why we're seeing it played less. It's... it's
Because as the way that we have seen our, you know, interpersonal relationships and stuff has changed, the way that we interpret that song has thus changed with it.
Right. And that
it turns from something normal to something scary.
Right.
Yes.
That's all.
Okay. Back to a movie.
What a wild ride. I forgot how absolutely ridiculous this movie is.
I forgot how funny this movie is.
It's pretty funny. Like, we brought it up. I think I was actually the one to suggest it this time. Because I was like, oh, it's about a summer camp. It's probably going to be awful. Like, I braced myself for, like, a terrible, like, cringe movie.
Mm-hmm.
You hadn't seen it in a while. Oh, my God.
I hadn't seen it since I was a child. Heavyweights,
when you guys said Heavyweights, my mind went, I love that movie. I watch it at least once every 2 or 3 years.
Why do you read? I feel like every movie we bring up, Myra's like, yeah, I totally saw that, like, just last year.
Don't bully her.
I'm not.
Okay. No. We discussed this in the car on the way here. I have established I am a movie nerd. I have seen probably more movies than you have could think of. For no good goddamn reason. Other than I don't have a life.
You have a life now.
Do I, though?
We're fighting over what's a cosplay for Dragon Con. I think that would count as some kind of life.
Fair.
Focus.
Ben Stiller. Cosplay Ben Stiller.
No.
Leave. This is your Get house. Get out. Leave.
No, like when he's escaping the...
when he looks like a madman spy.
Yes!
No.
Spandex.
I mean, no. I think that'd be a funny cosplay. If I see someone at Dragon Con in that cosplay,
no one will find me. What it is. Okay. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Good the luck.
Movie. So yeah, if you're unfamiliar,
I'd say
it's a It's very peak 90s of, let's try to be more health awareness. Let's bring more, like...
This is... It was made mid-90s.
That's why I said peak 90s.
this is around the time that like Super Size Me and stuff was coming out.
Oh,
this never mind. This was like of the times, like for sure. It sure was.
I forgot when Super Size Me came out.
And you know what? I also, in saying that, it reminded me, when the bus initially leaves for the camp. They drive through what is essentially small town America, which is every single fast food chain on one road and nothing else.
Yeah, we see like a Taco Bell, a Burger King, a McDonald's. Basically
where I live.
Yeah, McDonald's. Yeah. All of the fast food. Yeah.
Oh, no, but I mean, from the very beginning, you see that it is 90s film.
Yeah.
The TVs. Oh my god, those TVs.
Oh, that entertainment set where it like had the closing doors of wow.
Mm-hmm.
And the buses too, like buses don't even look like that anymore.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
School buses?
School buses look like that. My mom drives one.
Yeah, they do.
There's the flat ones, though, too.
They also have...
Those are the rich kids' schools, okay, Sam? They also have
the ones with the ultra, like, blacked out fronts. There's a bunch of different styles now, but that does not mean... You think that a nation that can't agree on how many snowplows each state needs is gonna also agree on how many school buses of what style they need?
That's fair. I think my New Jersey's showing on this one.
And I'm saying, you're New Jersey, you lived in the nicer side of New Jersey.
I did.
Because I didn't get one of those fancy school buses till I was in high school.
We didn't have school buses.
God, you were in Florida.
Yeah, we didn't have school buses until high school. I said what I said.
I had the old style school bus like that.
With, like, the bumper separated and everything?
Yep. Those buses still don't have seatbelts. They still don't have seatbelts. They have the stop signs that pop out. They have all the exits lit up. It's basically a new bus, just has a better outer shell.
Did your guys' buses not have seatbelts?
No. What the fuck?
I'm out. Sam had seatbelts on a bus?
Neb had seatbelts on a bus.
Not that we used them, but we had them.
No. You had a seatbelt on your school bus.
Uh-huh. Like on purpose.
Uh-huh.
That was put there uh-huh. by someone who wanted you to buckle.
Yep.
No. No. Not here. Well, no, yeah, because I went to high school up here, not here.
I didn't know buses could have seatbelts.
Yeah. I didn't know buses could have seatbelts. Okay, can we please get off of buses? We get it. Guys. We've been on buses for a minute. So they get to this camp, right? Uh-huh.
Oh, God. This is going to be an awful episode.
I really enjoyed...
But we're back. This is what you wanted, right?
Daddy made you your favorite open wide.
But look, I made you some content. I'm done.
One aspect of the film I very much enjoyed is its like satirical parody-esque almost feel.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a very good way to handle a very heavy subject. That's the response I wanted.
I'm sorry. I acknowledged the pun, but I was waiting for like more, and you didn't deliver.
I know.
No, I wanted the response.
I don't know what response you've got.
Exhausted.
Okay, then you got it.
Okay. That was really funny.
Actually, now that you've mentioned a parody, it does feel like very much making fun of all the camp movies that came out in the 80s.
Yeah. It simultaneously makes fun of the camp genre, the summer camp genre, and the hyper, not hygiene, hyper healthy fanatics that were like super amped up in the 90s.
In the 90s? I mean, they're still
They're still there, but now people go, oh, you're just a fanatic, and just kind of let them be in their own corner. Whereas...
they just let them watch Dr. Oz and not talk to them.
Yeah, whereas in the 90s and early 2000s, that was the kind of stuff I was watching in school. Those super, like, crazy health videos.
Oh.
You were? No,
Florida was too busy teaching us about what drugs were which ones.
You got to learn which drugs are what?
Yeah, they brought in, like, a whole thing of, like, every single drug and had them in a glass carryable case. And they were like, these are drugs. If you take this one, you'll smear shit all over the walls. It's bad.
Question, was it like when Mr. What's his name? Big Head.
Oh, yeah.
On South Park.
Drugs are bad, okay?
Yeah, that's literally what it was.
But it was
a cop.
But it was it like him when he starts passing them around so students can see it?
It is indeed.
And then it just disappeared?
Yeah, and the cop the whole time was like, listen, we inventory this like every single time we do these shows if anything fucking disappears. And this was to a class of fourth graders.
Wow.
South Park.
No, that was us. I'm saying I lived through that episode.
Damn.
No.
That's why it's so funny.
When D.A.R.E. came to my school, we just got, let's make a fire plan to escape your house if your house ever catches on fire. Also, don't smoke cigarettes.
Oh, no. We had the tangent. Did you have the trailer?
The trailer?
The trailer!
The trailer that they set on fire and you had to learn how to escape out of it? It wasn't really on fire.
It was kind of on fire.
Well, I mean, yes, it was, but they made you think it wasn't, so you wouldn't freak out. But it was really on fire.
Uh-huh. No, we didn't do that.
Yeah, so they had a trailer that you would go through, and they would show you all of the fire hazards of a house. And hey, if you touch the stove and do this, watch this, it catches fire. Oh, hey, if you leave this candle on, guess what? Boom, fire, huh?
And then they put you in the room, the little room upstairs, and go, now you gotta get out.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, the room's filling with smoke. What do you do? The smoke detector starts going off. They're like, what do you do? We're like, call 911, call 911. They're like, the phone's downstairs. What are you gonna do? Touch the door handle with the back of your hand. Nope, it's hot. It's hot. What are you gonna do?
There's a ladder.
That's right, go out the window.
And they always made sure that they had that fake little... piece of shit little metal ladder that you had to climb out of. Yep. And if you're scared of heights, you'd be like, bitch, I can't do it.
Anyway, that was growing up in fire country.
Yeah.
No, we did that on school safety day.
Yeah, that was school safety.
That was not there.
No, for school safety day, we didn't have one. But
we didn't have one. But
during health, they were like, oh, here's how you treat frostbite. Just put it in more, like, tap water.
That's right, you're in Northern.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why the fuck would you need to know how to... what?
That's not a normal thing here.
No, we learned how to run from gators.
We learned that in, like, concept, like...
No, we had to actively demonstrate that we knew how to run from a gator... and we needed to actively demonstrate in a pool that we knew how to find the direction of up with our eyes closed. Because if you're in swampy waters, you can't see up. You mm-hmm. can't see the light or anything.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is stay completely still, hope that the water starts carrying you up, and when it doesn't, start blowing bubbles and follow the bubbles.
Oh.
Yeah. That was to try and stop kids from getting drowned. Guess what wasn't working too well?
Oh, no.
Anyway.
Georgia was not that crazy. We just learned how to hide from tornadoes. On that same little trailer.
Same little trailer?
No. It's not a trailer.
Shaking.
No,
they start
that's cool.
shaking the what? Shit out of that trailer. And then they're like, what's the safest spot? The bathroom. There's a window. Fuck.
Fuck. No.
No, see, everyone
underneath
in Florida.
The stairs.
Everyone in Florida had lived through so many tornadoes, they were like, you know.
If you don't by now, you're going to die.
If you don't by now, just wait. your parents will show you in a couple months. That,
and, of course, the normal tornado drill you did at school. Earthquakes. For some reason, earthquakes were huge in the 90s in Georgia.
Huh. We had a hypothetical. Oh, we had a lot of bomb drills.
We are on a large tangent.
That's what we had. We had bomb drills.
Continues you needed the them.
Yes. No, I just you had all these weird things, and I was like, I had weird things too. We had bomb drills, and like,
no, I know. I'm not trying to take away your ability to have weird things. I'm trying to get us back on track because we are on a limited time schedule again.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm not doubting your weird things. Just we're getting back into the swing of it.
Hello.
We need to stay on topic.
Movie.
Okay.
Can we talk about? Let's start backwards. Can we talk about this relay?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, sure. Fuck it. Let's talk about the shitty ass relay.
Stupid relay.
How do these kids, who can't aim, wear shit for the whole movie?
Or shit. No shitting happened in the making of this movie.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. It was really fun. A really funny concept.
Who can't aim? Mm-hmm. How do they have the hand-eye coordination to properly steer a vehicle?
I mean, steering a vehicle is way easier than aiming something. Okay. We drive all the time. Are you saying that because we drive all the time, we can not therefore go play baseball?
Okay. Fair.
Okay.
But, okay, fine. Not steer a vehicle. But at least freaking make it on the first round throwing a football.
That's true. One of the kids, the black kid, threw a football real good on the first try.
It had to be the black kid, too.
Of course it was the black kid. I mean, it was the 90s. They were trying to be progressive, but they weren't all the way there yet.
Fair.
We're still not all the way there yet.
And out of all of this, they finally got their one win that they've never gotten. And they go, forget the wind. We're throwing the trophy in the water. What?
Okay, I liked that part because it was so obvious that to the other team, they didn't care what the feelings were involved. They had a slot to fill on their trophy wall. Versus for them, it was all about the feeling of success. Who cares if you have a trophy? You're the victor. And for one side, it was the physical object. Who cares about who feels what? And for the other team, it was about the feeling. Who cares about this cup? I liked that message because winning does not have to be the prize attached to it.
Okay.
Sometimes the feeling of winning is just feeling good about yourself.
And that was a very common theme throughout a lot of 90s media.
Yeah. That's fair.
No, I did like that whole throw the cup into the lake thing until Pat had that really cheesy line with Nurse Julie.
Okay.
Yeah, they fucking ruined that.
We're moving to that. They had such a good romance for the entire movie that wasn't shoved down your throat the 90s way. That was so nicely seated. It was light. It was gentle. It was soft. And then, just in case you forgot that the cishets were in charge, they ruined it. With 5 minutes of screen time left, they ruined it.
Yeah, because it was the perfect background romance.
Yeah.
It was, because throughout the focus of the film, you never forget that it's targeted around and centered around kids.
Yep.
And the adult characters are important, for sure. But
they're so not the focus.
They're so very not the focus. And so them just having these cute little, soft interactions, these, oh, hey, how's it going, Pat? Are you okay? You don't look okay. And I'm concerned for you as, your friend and your coworker and...
Maybe more,
but, question mark.
We're getting there.
We'll figure it. We're we're figuring that out as we go. And they each had moments like that where they would come in and be like, hey, how's it going? Are we good? Checking in, you know? This summer has been a lot. Our boss is literally insane.
Yeah, that guy
mental health check.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that I agree with you guys. It was not necessary.
Mm-hmm. It was poorly executed.
I did like the fact that the British guy
knew the five vice presidents.
Not only knew the five vice presidents, but still was able to take a jab at someone that was raised. It's like sort of mocking the U.S.
public education system
without straight up mocking it. Although the fact that they were doing like super long algebra and they're supposed to be like 10.
Well, I thought he was.
They're supposed to be
no 10. 11. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. You don't start doing algebra till middle school or high school.
Yeah, and unless you had done, like, an active arts studies program, a lot of... Besides the Mona Lisa,
you wouldn't have known shit.
Because the other ones I didn't know. It's not like they had a Monet in there or something.
Yeah, like, the Mona Lisa was the only one. I knew the last one that he said only because of art class in high school.
Something to keep in mind, though, these kids were, like, going to school in the 90s, and I only point that out because that was way before modern technology. They probably retained a lot more bullshit knowledge than we did. And what I'm saying is, like, especially as adults now, we might not have, it's like that are you smarter than a fifth grader thing. Like, they were going through those classes now.
Yes and no, because even in the 90s, algebra wasn't something you studied until you were in high school. Middle school at the most.
My brother started learning algebra in fifth grade.
Florida tested for the FCAT. So.
Okay, no, now we got to think about the region, too, because we've discussed this, too.
It was filmed in North Carolina.
So it'd be Southern.
North Carolina is different, though. Oh, North Carolina is, last I remember looking, was one of the more better educated states.
So again, the algebra passed, but as far as the art, unless you're taking like an art history class, you would not know all those paintings.
That's fair. But he's British. With a terrible British accent that came in and out. But he was also a child, so.
Yeah.
We're going to cut him some slack.
I'll give him the vice presidents, because that shit you learn, they teach you that in like first and second grade over and over again. You just don't remember them. Unless they did something like, interesting.
It would be a foreigner that would know something like so minute like that.
Yeah.
Like how we know so much about, the like medieval England.
Yeah.
That's just normal history to them. Who knows how much that they remember on a daily basis, but like we know I can say King Henry VIII with confidence. That was a dude. I know what he did. I know his involvement in the church and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say that someone over there also could do that with the same confidence that we could say a random vice president several times.
Okay, but I'll give you that, but I won't give you King Henry VIII, because everybody knows who the fuck King Henry VIII is.
You know I'm bad at names. I remembered that one, and I feel like that counts. I feel like that counts.
Yeah, I know who that is. If this was set in England...
I also know that he had six wives, and only one of them survived living through him.
I'll give it to you, because I know how bad you are with names. But I see what you mean. It's like me saying King Edward the First.
Yeah. It's like that. Like and I'm not saying that no one there knows that. It's just when it's your history, it's like
It's like,
of course I know it. It's my history. And you don't think further about it because it's your history. Right. Who fucking cares?
Like,
it's
me ours. Forgetting that Mexico, at one point, the French tried to consider it an empire and put an emperor and empress there, but really weren't. Oh, yeah, did you know that?
No.
Mexico had an empire for like a split 6 months.
I need you to know that the only things that that Georgia school teaches you about Mexico is that it used to be Indian territory or the Aztecs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all. They don't go into anything else.
New Jersey covers the fact that it was originally like Incan and Aztec territory, and then it got colonized by Spain
and France.
And the Mexican territory stretched up into where Texas is and into California. And that whole, like, region area was just kind of, like, lumped. And then, I don't know which war happened, but a war happened, and...
The Alamo.
And then the Alamo happened. And we were like, oh, hey, Texas, don't you want to be part of this country? And Texas was like, no! And we were like, don't you want to be part of a country, Texas? With a gun. And they went, oh, all right. Okay. Oh,
I see.
And
they went, Canada, or not Canada, California, you want part of us? We'll pay you.
And California went, oh, bet. We have lots of resources that you want, so.
This is going to go a lot better for us. I can feel it.
And it did.
Yep. Nope. I seriously forgot about that part of Mexican history.
Tangent aside.
But no, that to me, that was my only gripe with that section, besides the making it in the first throw, was the fact that I'll give you the algebra because you're right. The way that they taught kids in the 90s is completely different than what they taught kids nowadays.
Correct.
So for the vice presidents and the algebra, give it to you. But the art, I think, was too much.
Remember, he was also English, though.
I see that, but we literally had a day in my elementary school, and I remember this only because it's the first time I ever saw Starry Night, and I thought it was cool as shit. I thought I would paint like that one day. Plot twist. Not happening. We had a whole day dedicated to artists of history, and we had like the whole school lined with different paintings done by different artists throughout history with their name. And if we had enough like names and art pieces memorized by the end of the day, we got something. I don't remember what it was. And that was in the 90s. That was in like second or third grade. For a weird art class. Okay. All I'm saying is it's not impossible. Improbable? Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Impossible? And I'll drop it now.
No. Yeah. But I mean, I get the whole point of that scene is to make the jock look stupid.
The beautiful Cher. Himbo.
Cher.
One more time, I would like share for 100, please.
I'm sorry, but even the dumbest people know. And when I mean dumbest, I mean people who just choose not to pay attention in school.
Sure.
Know who the Mona Lisa is. They don't know who painted it, but they know who the Mona Lisa is. They've Fair. Seen that I'll get... Because not a lot of people remember artist versus the painting.
Sure, sure.
So I would say there's no excuse unless you really are not wanting to pay attention.
That's fair. That's very fair.
He's going to be a sports ball guy, Myra.
Didn't you know? He's into sports ball, not art ball.
That's fair because I don't know any freaking players' names. Okay, but then we're rewinding the movie here. Besides that, I thought the ending was a very good ending. Mm-hmm. Then we go into, rewinding the movie.
Yeah, we're going backwards. Can we talk about Ben Stiller's escape scene?
That's what I was going for next.
Excellent, where he literally threatens to stab a child with a fork.
He, no.
He grabs him by the hair, and I'm pretty sure the fork is still in his hand.
No, it's not. He just, what is it? Choke holds them. So he's trying to knock him out.
That's worse! Is that better?
That's worse. Yes.
But again, this is the 90s when people thought that was okay to do that to children.
Yeah, back in the 90s.
We were low-key abusive to children.
Low-key?
Mid-key.
Mid-key.
High-key.
Because this is right... Because, I mean, really, children at this point were still like, you could spank your child. We could still spank them in school for you.
Yep.
This is when they were realizing that's wrong.
But I really did enjoy how unhinged and feral he became during Parents' Day. That whole sequence of him just dissolving into madness, quite literally.
What I enjoyed about that is throughout the film, you can tell that he's trying to keep a character because of his vocal tone.
Yeah.
At that point, you're like, okay, my character is no longer being...
Calm and collective.
Subtle, and abuse. Because he changed his tone of voice when he was being abusive towards the children.
Yeah, like, from the get, you know he's a narcissist.
No, and... what I mean is, in the beginning, he has this, well, you know, kind of... I can't do a male voice. I'm sorry. No, I know. Sorry. But he had this, his tone of voice was just a tad bit different, especially when he was fat shaming the kids. As he starts snapping in character, he goes to his normal tone of voice, where he's being abusive to not just the kids, but everybody.
Yeah, everyone around him.
Including himself.
Including himself. So I think it was a... his
internalized fat phobia?
Not internalized fat phobia. I think it was actually Ben Stiller trying to separate himself from the character so he wouldn't be as hated for fat shaming kids. He was like separating this is what the character's doing. At this point, when he's pretty much being evil to everybody. Not because he starts attacking the parents. He starts
emotionally and physically abusive to everyone around him.
Yes. He no longer has... He's now just playing the character. He's not playing a character that's being abusive to children.
Right.
I feel like you even pointed that out when we were watching it. Because, you know, throughout the movie, he doesn't seem like Ben Stiller.
No.
Like, he seems like he's hiding behind the character from the get-go.
Until he snaps. When he snaps, you see Ben Stiller's motive being physically funny, while at the same being this. He has a way to be funny, but still be stab mean. You in the back sort of way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he pulled that off very well. Going, okay. At this point, I have to be mean. Comically, because I'm doing this part, and then when you get to this point, it's like, I'm just being an asshole, so I'm just gonna play an asshole. It's like...
Yes, no, my brain immediately jumped to Lars.
God, Lars.
Who is a treasure.
You want to hate him at the beginning so bad.
You do hate him at the beginning.
No, you
do.
You hate him so bad in the beginning, and then he gets with the deer.
Tied to a tree, covered in honey. It's so weird. It's so...
That is like, a very weird. It's loaded. It's a loaded scene.
It's loaded
with what? I don't know, but it involves honey.
There's like some weird sexual tension there. It's... Don't look at me like that. He's tied to
it's
a tree.
It's children.
It's still true. That's the problem.
They rip open his shirt, take a brush, coat him in honey, and leave him in the woods.
I don't want to look at it as a sexual tension. I look at it as kids trying to be stupid.
It felt awkwardly charged. Like, unpleasantly awkward.
Yeah, it felt wrong side of kids being feral.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't inherently sexual.
I don't know. It was
the ripped shirt for me, I think, is what did. Like, if they had just put Honey on his arms, because he was already in a tank top. That's the worst part. He was already in a tank top. They had plenty of surface area to hypothetically paint his skin in Honey, if that's what they wanted to do. Also, they only did it to Lars.
It's fair. They only did it to Lars.
The other counselors they left alone. I'm putting this off to, I've seen it more often, and I've seen it since I was little, so.
Even when I was little, I thought that was a weird scene.
I'm not saying it's not a weird scene. I just never perceived it as a sexually charged scene.
I have nothing to add here. It was a weirdly charged scene from someone who effectively hasn't seen the movie before.
I'm not saying it wasn't a weird scene. It was definitely a weird scene.
Yeah, I think we can probably settle on it was definitely charged with a weird energy. And the fact that they only did it to Lars while ripping his already skimpy tank top
felt a little weird. To me, that was like, the others didn't do as much to us. This motherfucker did a lot. So let's fuck with him even more.
Okay.
I can see that.
Because the others were also in just t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I feel like both sides has merit. I think it really just depends on when you watched it and, like, I don't know. I feel like that might play really hardcore into it. Because if you haven't seen it in a while, it's not fresh enough.
Yeah.
If you've seen it in a while, you're still seeing it from the initial perspective. Yeah. I could see both sides.
Yeah, but
the directors may have needed to make a different choice.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. They had to make a different choice on a lot of things.
Like, what else?
Well, let's be honest. The whole... God damn it. There was another thing I was...
Oh, no. This wasn't, like, me trying to bully you. This was, like, What are your hot takes, Myra? Provide them.
I forgot.
Hot takes. Get your hot takes here.
Oh, the, trying to put children's lives in danger.
Which time?
Yes.
No, like in Major Danger when they were actually the hike. They could have chosen a different way of putting that hike to go. And by that I mean not ending on a fucking cliffside.
I mean, the children do contemplate murder. And then end up with a light kidnapping.
Light? They straight up kidnapped.
Yeah, that wasn't light.
That was Peter Pan levels.
I was just trying to play it off.
I do like the fact that they didn't actually put children in a very sexually charged situation when the whole pants are down, because that's not actually the actor.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell because they don't actually show his face. They just show his butt and Ben Stiller.
And then they cut to his face.
They cut to him falling forward and pulling his pants up.
Right.
Also, I would like to say that, come back.
And if that was really him, I think that was very wrong for them to put a child in that situation.
Yeah.
Oh, and on top of that, I think the one thing that I'm not, like, a huge fan of throughout the entire movie is the insinuation that all people are fat because of an overabundance of food.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
A lot of people, especially in like, you know, middle America, small town America, etc., are not fat because they eat too much. They're fat because the food that they can get their hands on cheaply is shit quality.
Yeah.
Yep. So I feel like they could have leaned on that a little less. it's supposed to be paradoxical. Like, it's supposed to be parody. So I understand. It's a very easy thing to laugh at.
Sure.
Ha ha, fat kid eats food. Ooh, look at that. Pinnacle of comedy.
What is this, a deli meat?
Yeah. But it is a little bit damaging.
Yeah, toned up.
Especially for this having turned into a cult classic. It's a little bit pointing the finger in the wrong direction, I guess. Because, yeah. You know, anyone who saw that as a kid, they're getting the message fat people are fat because they overeat and don't want to do the work. Mm-hmm. But in reality, it's being overweight is like a multi-level issue.
Yeah.
And
it definitely neglects...
Especially as a kid. Sorry. Especially as a kid, because you have no control over what you're eating at that age.
Right.
Like, and by that I mean you have a level of control, but you do not have the right to make medical decisions for yourself because you do not have the mental capacity to do that yet. Mm-hmm. And diet is a part of that.
Sure.
And it's not necessarily always the kid's fault that the parents take them to McDonald's every day.
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, or that they can't afford anything else. Mm-hmm. If the only snack they can afford to put in the kid's lunch is a Twinkie, it's $2 for a whole box. He's getting a fucking Twinkie.
Right. It definitely neglects what was noticed in the 90s, and it's what is now referred to as like food deserts, where the only food available is unhealthy food and they don't have access to like fresh fruits and vegetables and like healthier options, and totally neglects the socioeconomic aspect of weight, because it's a lot easier to eat healthier when you have more money.
And that's just true.
That's true. And a lot of these kids were from, like, middle-class America. Lower to middle-class America. Except for the one kid whose dad was a lawyer.
But that one also shows you that, I think, on that aspect, thinking about him, is you see he... Because if you look at all the characters... Mm-hmm. Something that I think they did sort of good is you can tell that going, one kid go, I snuck in some Oreos, compared to some of the kids that going, I brought in a whole box of candy.
Oh, yes. But that falls into the other thing of them leaning too hard on junk food.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, that also shows that sometimes it's not just based on food, because... He's going, some Oreos, meaning you don't really get a lot, where mm-hmm. some of those kids are like, we get an abundance of it.
Yeah. No, I see where you're coming from.
Oh, yeah. And like the attitude our main Gary has versus like, hey guys, I brought some Oreos to share for the cabin, versus the kids who have literally duct tape food to their
stomachs.
Abdomens. Yeah.
Also, can I point out one thing that really bothered me? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They took the time to introduce a female camp, but didn't bother considering, hey, maybe we can just have some fat girls.
Yeah.
Like,
they even make an anorexia joke.
And yeah, and granted, it's like Heather's level of funny, okay? I get the joke. It was not in good taste for like the eating disorder community, but if you've seen Heather's, you know the vibe I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's a, you're making a shit decision and I'm going to rip on you for it because it's a shit decision. Maybe see your therapist more.
So here's a thought mm-hmm. on this one scene.
Mm-hmm. The dance scene.
The whole purpose of the dance scene was to embarrass them to want to lose weight. So my thought is, this is not just a specific kind of girl. It's just not just a girl camp. Being at the surrounding areas of mm-hmm. the way they are, it could be like a cheerleading camp.
Right. I guess what I'm saying is I understand the logic of how and why the camp was there. I just feel like they missed out. They made this whole movie about empowering, like, dudes who are overweight and, you know, giving them specifically the message of you can take your health into your own hands if you just, you know, put the work into it. And they had an opportunity to potentially like introduce a female camp that's similar. They could have done so, they could have made them all wear shitty uniforms or something to the dance that was very unflattering. But they, from my perspective, they missed an opportunity to do the same, to do the exact same thing for the other people in the audience.
Yeah.
Okay, I could see what you're
saying. Yeah, I definitely agree.
I'm not mad at it. I feel like they had an opportunity and they went sexism.
Yeah.
Girls aren't fat. That never happens.
And if they are fat, we don't talk about that.
If they're not, they're not fat. They're undesirable.
Yeah.
But you know, like society is like, we don't touch that. Well, not anymore. Everyone's fat now.
I don't know about that.
I mean, there's still an element of body shaming with, especially within the feminine presenting community.
What I'm saying is that you're either on the side of everyone who's fat is gross, or you understand people are human, and the former side is getting smaller.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's fixed. I'm saying that, like, compared to the 90s to now,
yeah,
the scales, joke, pun not intended, the scales have hardcore tipped to more acceptance.
Yeah, and I will say this, the 90s are coming off of the heavy influence that the New York Ballet had on American weight and how they perceived. Because in the 80s, girls were basically anorexic. And if you weren't anorexic, you couldn't be in any American company. And so the 90s were still very much feeling the reverbs of that. And so women weren't healthy weight. And women, and girls were
still not a healthy weight, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the unfortunately, the influence of American ballet on American society has a lot of negative impacts that we're still dealing with. We're starting to move away from that. Like, if you look at the New York Ballet now, they're actually very muscular dancers. But the anorexic jokes are still very much around, unfortunately.
Yep. No, I agree with you. They did miss an opportunity there. They had an opening.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. There was an opportunity and they chose to make anorexia jokes rather than empowering a similar community.
Mm-hmm. And I think I that I'll also chop off to it was the 90s and yeah, feminism definitely was not a thing.
It was starting in earnest,
but at that point it was like, oh, the engine, you're here.
The engine was revving and someone was about to step on the gas.
Yeah, it was like, see, we put women in the movie. That's more what it felt like at that point.
Yeah, that's very fair.
All right. Anything else?
Characters.
Okay. So we got Gary,
Josh,
Julie's a cleric. Duh. She's easy.
Yeah, that's fair. What's his name?
Pat.
The guy who had been at the camp for like 17 years
Pat.
Or whatever.
Pat.
Yeah, I would say he's a bard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bard with a tinker's kit.
Tim.
He's a sports dude.
No, he's the guy who used to be fat and became skinny, and everybody makes fun of him.
That's the guy who coached the baseball.
Sure. He coached the heavyweights team.
Yes.
I don't know. NPC. I don't know what else to give him.
Bard?
I would say Bard. He inspired the dance. Yeah. And he tried to inspire everybody in baseball.
That's fair.
So we got a couple of bards and a cleric.
Hey. That's a whole party right there. Yeah. Alright, who else we got?
Gary.
Yeah, Gary. Our main boy.
I know. Paladin?
I could rock with Paladin.
Yeah. Josh? I think he's a fighter.
Or maybe a rogue.
I feel like he's a rogue. He's too...
Yeah, I've been thinking... Yep, rogue.
Okay, imagine a rogue whose dad is a lawyer.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's literally Josh.
Rogue. Let's see. Roy.
Oh, yeah. Paladin. Playden? What was it? No, I was just teasing. That was funny.
Paladin?
Don't worry about it. We know what it is. Anyway.
Roy. They did really good at sneaking into that house.
Another rogue?
Throwing a ball would be sleight of hand, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Or athletics.
I would give him rogue.
Because he also does that sly move of hitting the guy in the chest with the baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just a sassy rogue.
Charisma rogue as opposed to stealth rogue.
Yeah.
Lars. Our sweet, sweet Lars.
Idiot.
Is there an idiot class?
There is now.
He's definitely not a druid.
He's definitely not a druid, you're right.
Barbarian?
I would not.
No. Don't do that to those poor barbarians. Their brains are not the best, but come on.
I'm thinking.
Sorcerer?
What's the one who gains...
Warlock. He's a warlock.
What's his name? Ben Stiller's character was literally his patron.
Yeah.
Tony.
Yeah, Tony Uncle was literally Tony. His patron. He left the camp and he's like, the camp's not the same without you, but I'm still employed, so I guess it's fine. That was literally what he said.
Yep.
Sam.
Who's Sam? Oh, the one that gets the makeout scene.
Mm-hmm.
Did he do anything else?
Not really.
NPC.
NPC, okay.
Kenny didn't do anything. Roger is the one that you were scared of. The creepy guy.
Alright.
Is Cody the British kid?
Yes. No, Nicholas.
Nicholas.
He has to be a wizard.
Yep. Tony.
Uncle Ben Tony. Stiller.
Ben Stiller's character.
Big red evil guy.
Alright.
No, I'm just kidding.
Something.
Cthulhu.
Something athletic. Maybe.
Monk. He's a monk!
Oh my god!
He's a monk!
And at the end, he tries to sell crystals.
He lived through the shock! He's just a wave of the open hand monk!
He's a monk.
Any of the other kids we want to cover?
I don't think so.
No, because Kenny was... Simmy.
Who?
Sims, that's the one.
Sims.
The whole... I'm not going to bring it up.
Sims.
Not yet. Okay, remind me what he did for the movie.
Not say a word and was getting the one that was getting hurt the most.
Is he the tall one?
He's the tall and the
he's
big...
the tank.
Yep.
Is he the barbarian or is he a paladin?
Or is he a druid? Constantly beast shaping and just taking the hits.
He does help them hide in the trees. Because he was all like, The comic. The comic.
Something. So I would vote something tanky.
I would say Barbarian.
Yeah?
Especially because he really doesn't talk.
He just loomed
over. But he doesn't have like an angry scene.
Okay, fair.
That's my only hang up.
Yeah.
I would say Paladin because he tries to embody the spirit of the camp.
By getting hurt all the time?
Yeah, that's the joke for most of the movie.
Fine.
Let's list off all the classes. What do we have?
We got Artificer. We got Druid.
He would definitely not be a wizard. I would not put him as a wizard, warlock, or sorcerer.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Maybe Ranger, since he tries to stay afar.
He fails at it, though. Wait a minute. What's Ben's character in the other campaign where he could cast a thing and get a sword and suddenly sword become slinger? Combat? Yeah, sword slinger. What was it?
It was the wizard. Oh, but I could do it. No, I couldn't.
Okay. No. I don't know. He's something tanky.
Because wizards can't be tanky either.
I would be willing to cave on, wait, he's just a fighter. He uses protect.
Protect! Yes. He's a fighter.
Or shield, whatever it's called.
Fighting protection, or protection fighting style.
Yeah.
You get, your windows are up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are you sure? Do you want to check?
Yeah, I'm gonna go check.
Okay.
Alright, is that all of them?
I think that's everybody, because, I mean, Kenny didn't do anything. Roger's just creepy in the beginning. Cody is the one kid that just keeps tripping on himself or gets hit in the head with the baseball. Mm-hmm. Maury is Greg's dad, and he only shows up once. I don't remember who the hell Chris is. I think he's the jock.
So, Julie is a cleric. Pat is a bard. Tim is also a bard. Gary is a paladin. Josh is a rogue. Roy is a rogue. Lars is a warlock. Nicholas is a wizard. Tony is a monk. And Sims is a fighter.
Woo!
Woo!
Okay. 3, 2. Okay. I start. Mm-hmm. Me, Mexico / Myra. Sorry, I introduced myself as Mexico.
It took a minute. We thought you were renaming yourself. Or trying to say that Mexico is where you've been.
I mean, yeah, that is where I've been. My brain might still be / Mexico. So, maybe that's why this episode's so fucked up.
We also haven't recorded in...
like 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh,
before like a month.
Has it been a month?
Just about, yeah.
Fuck.
Anyways, yeah, you gotta think, this episode is coming out in a week. It's Saturday.
Sorry, guys, I ruined your life. Traveling to Mexico is just...
It wasn't just you. I also got absconded with to New Jersey.
I also wasn't complaining about the lack of work.
Fair. Okay, movie.
What did you think?
It's a cult classic. You can't go wrong with watching this movie. Yes, I have seen it several times, because it's actually not my favorite movie, but it's Caesar's favorite movie. So, being that I am the oldest child and never got to choose what was on TV...
Is that how that worked in your household?
I'm the oldest child and I'm a girl. I'm Mexican.
The rule is, if I can beat the shit out of you, you don't pick the channel.
Have you seen Caesar?
Yeah, you should have told him you could beat the shit out of him. He would have believed you till he was in high school, Myra.
The instant he was 5, he was pulling my hair and beating the shit out of me.
Nah, he didn't fight back enough.
Well, I fought back. I bit his ear.
Not hard enough.
Not off.
Yeah. So, it was Caesar's favorite movie. I think it still is one of his favorites, at least. And... I got to watch it a lot, mm-hmm. So I enjoy it. It's a fun movie. It's
interesting. It's comedy. At the same time, it does point to not necessarily fat shame kids, but try to teach them how to properly
take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Take responsibilities in your own actions and have fun. Be a kid. Because mm-hmm. we forget to do that sometimes nowadays. So, yeah, go see the movie.
Yeah, when I say it aged well, I mean that with an asterisk. Like, obviously there are obvious problematic elements to this movie. There's literal child abuse and, you know, stuff like that. But it's a fun movie. It's satirical. It's over the top in the best kind of 90s way. I definitely enjoyed coming back to it as an adult. There were some weird moments, but overall, it's a fun watch. I was like, do not speak that far away.
I really wanted to.
I know you did.
This was fun to watch. It had some good moments. And honestly, I just like it when things are chaotic, and this was very chaotic. I did not like Ben Stiller's character, and not like in a ooh villain way. Like, I just didn't like him. Mm. But his presence did not hinder the rest of the cast, and I think that speaks volumes. I don't think Ben Stiller did a bad job either. I think his character was weirdly written, in a way that I'm not willing to fix right now. But just because the villain was a little... What?
You're speaking like this.
Yes, I know I'm thinking.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that...
Neb! Just because the bad guy is a little too good at his job in a weird direction doesn't mean the movie wasn't worth watching. It definitely was a cool take on a pretty, like, overdone trope at this point. There are a lot of camp movies. They do a lot of the same shit. This one really tried to turn it on its head while still sticking to a, you know, a bit of a formula. And I really commend them for that, especially in the time period. What?
Yes, I win.
It's not you.
There you go.
It's definitely me. What the fuck?
No, Myra and I were making very intense eye contact.
Okay. But yeah, I would give this a sure. It's not like the most passionate yes, but it's a yes. It was cute. It was fun. Might be fun to watch with the kids, depending on if you watch it and think it's something you're willing to expose your kids to. It's just, it doesn't have a great message nowadays is all. Mm-hmm. But if you're willing to go through the work of explaining that or don't really give a shit and just want your kids to, you know, watch TV for a little while and do the very healthy thing of just shutting up and watching the screen, good call on the parenting.
There are studies that show screen time is necessary for a parental unit to recharge their own batteries
Let
and allow
me give them shade because that's not the person I'm talking about and you know it.
Okay.
I'm talking about a very specific person here.
Okay.
Anyway, I think it was good. It was good. That's a yes.
That's three yeses.
Three, two.
All right. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. If you want more content or want to see some of the things we referenced in the show or just want to say hi, please follow us at WSIWT Podcast on Instagram and Twitter or Why Should I Watch That on TikTok and Facebook. We also have a YouTube channel where you can listen to our episodes and also watch our live show.
Woo-woo! I don't know why I did that. I'm sorry. We've had our snacks.
We've said our facts.
We've told you if you should watch that.
Bye. I'm not here right now. I'll see you later.
9/11 Evening, whatever. This month's theme is summer camp. or at least movies around it. Here comes your hint. Good luck.
When there's no cops around, anything's legal.